What a blessing. Amen. Enjoyed that song very much. And appreciate Miss Christy playing for us today. Amen. Doing a fantastic job filling in for Miss Roberta. And remember them in prayer as they travel. If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to Psalm 63. And though I would not classify this as one of the great chapters of the Bible, this is the one that the Lord placed upon my heart for today. I just want to encourage you today. The title of the message is Knocked Down But Not Out. You ever been knocked down? I have a few times. But thank the Lord, and as Christians, we're not knocked out. You know, I tell you what, we can, again, get our eyes on things around us, and we can become discouraged, but we must remember that our hope really is in God. Our theme this year, our hope is in God. Daniel, the book of Daniel, the theme of the book of Daniel is God rules in the affairs of men. Just understand that. You say, well, where is the Lord? The things going on in our country today, here in just a couple of hours. Where is the Lord? Let me tell you, the Lord's right here. He hasn't left us. And God's in control. Amen. God rules in the affairs of men. Knocked down but not out. Look at Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I want to just take a little time here and give you a little bit of background of what's going on in David's life. This psalm was written by King David. This psalm was written by David when he was fleeing for his life from his own son. Absalom, his son, had taken over the kingdom. And David fled for his life, him and his family. As he was hearing about Absalom, and there's a whole lot of great story to it, and I would encourage you sometime to go read 2 Samuel chapter 15, 16, and 17, and the things that went on and why Absalom did what he did. His brother slept with his, you know, daughter. It was terrible, the things that went on, and David, Absalom was, if you would, just put out of the city of Jerusalem. And finally, after 2 years, David let Absalom return after he had killed one of his other brothers, and it was just a mess. And Absalom, about 2 years after he had returned, David, his father, for 2 years hadn't talked to him. And finally, Absalom sent word and said, I want to see my dad. I'm summarizing here. And finally, he came before his dad. But a year after that, Absalom decided to overthrow the kingdom. You imagine, I couldn't imagine my own mind, my own son, turning against me. By the way, I feel so proud this morning, my son singing this morning. That's awesome. You know, I just couldn't imagine that. I couldn't imagine my only son, my son turning against me. Of course, he had many sons, but a son turning against me. Absalom, the Bible says, was a beautiful man. You can say that about anybody, a man. He loved his hair. He weighed his hair every year. Made a public spectacle of it. The Bible says there wasn't a blemish from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. There wasn't one blemish in him. He was liked by all in the community. In fact, the Bible says that Absalom began to go to the front of the gate of the judgment house there where his father stood on the throne. And he began to catch those who were going in to get wisdom and counsel from his dad. He began to counsel them at the gate. And soon the heart of the people of Jerusalem and the heart of Israel was turned to Absalom, David's son. And again, as I've already stated, one day Absalom decided, I want to be king. He brought a great company into the city of Jerusalem. And so as they were approaching the city, David and his company left the city of Jerusalem. In fact, the Bible says that as they left the city of Jerusalem, that there was a stranger there that followed him, a stranger that had just come into town with his group, and he said to the stranger, hey, you don't need to go with us. And man, there's just some great things that happened on that day in which many people were loyal to David. In fact, two priests went and grabbed the Ark of the Covenant and brought it out with them. And David turned around and said, no, take the Ark of the Covenant back. Take it back where it belongs, there in the temple. David left with a great host of company and fled for his life. After a period of time, in fact, David was not only, you know, betrayed by his son, but is betrayed by his great counselor and friend. I mean, just awful, awful things. This is David who defeated Goliath. David who brought Israel into a great state of peace and prosperity. You talk about an unthankful people, right? And so, after a while transpired and David began to set and began to pray and think, and David wrote this psalm while in exile. And again, let's look at it again. O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Think about David now. He's fled for his life. He's been the king almost for 40 years. And now all these things have befallen him. And yet he's saying, Lord, I seek Thee to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life. I love that statement. You ought to underline that in your Bible. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips when I remember Thee upon my bed. Remember now, he's in exile. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. What do you think about when things aren't going right? David thought about the Lord. Because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth Thee, me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. That's hell, by the way. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today for Your love. We thank You for all that You've done for us. Lord, the many blessings You've bestowed upon us. And Lord, we thank You that in times of distress that You're there with us. Lord, help us to seek You early. Help us during our time of discouragement to think upon You. Lord, to understand and feel that loving kindness that only You can give. Lord, we praise You and thank You for what You're going to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. What? We're troubled on every side, but not distressed? Yes, in the Lord. Amen? Peace that passes all understanding. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I'm glad today we may be knocked out, but we're not knocked down. Amen? Knocked down, but not out. You understand this morning there's always a cross before a crown. You know, anything good must be earned. Okay, I said I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. My papa when I was a kid, and my papa was one of the most influential men in my life besides my dad. And I would go up in the summers and I'd work on the farm with my papa. Enjoyed it very, very much. He taught me most of my work ethic. My dad, of course, most part, but my papa as well. And I remember my papa saying many, 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 many times, nothing is free. Nothing is free. Let me say it again. Nothing is free. Nothing is free. Anything worth having is earned. Amen. I feel better about the whole thing. You think the government's going to give you something for free? You're mistaken. There's always a cross before the crown. Always. Always. Anything worth having must be earned. I never forget my papa when I got to be an adult. I said, Papa, listen, I've started my retirement. And my retirement fund. And listen, he said, you do this and mutual funds this and mutual funds that. And he said, well, how much are you having to pay the guy to do it? And I said, nothing. Nothing's free. The first words out of his mouth. I said, no, it costs me nothing. Of course, I understand the mutual fund guy was getting paid by the mutual fund company and whatever. But it wasn't coming, you know, it was, anyway. Nothing's free. Nothing's free. whatever we have or whatever we may have is worked for. Now, the cross always comes before the crown. If you're going to win the race, you must work and train to win the race. Amen? Why do we suffer? And we could go talk about Job, and we won't do that this morning, but why do we suffer as Christians? I'm talking about born-again child of God. Why do we suffer? Well, there's many reasons why. Sometimes it's because of sin in our lives. Amen? Sometimes we're just in sin. We need to get right with God. Right? And the preacher's getting on sin again. Amen. Not a lot of churches doing that anymore. Listen, you need to, when things are not going right in your life, you need to go before God and say, Lord, is it me? Oh, wretched man that I am, is it me, Lord? And see if it is. Why do we suffer? Sometimes it's not because of sin. Sometimes it's just simply to glorify God. The disciples asked the question, why is this man lame? Did his mother sin? Did his father sin? The Lord said, no, he's lame because, for my glory. Sometimes it's just for the Lord's glory. Amen? And many times, whether it's because of our sin or because of our own mistakes or whether it's simply for God's glory, whatever God is doing in our life is for our good, the Bible says, Romans chapter 8. That He might conform us into the image of His Son. He is working on us according to His good pleasure, the Bible says. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So God is working on us. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen? He's working on us to conform us into the image of His Son. Here David is in just a discouraged state. David is alone, forsaken by his son, forsaken of his great counselor and friend, by his own nephew. All these things that have befallen him. Had to leave his house, had to leave some of his concubines, had to leave the city of Jerusalem, which he loved. But look what he wrote. Look what he wrote. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. How did David deal with the trial in his life? He longed for God. When you are facing a trial, go to God. When you're facing a trial, live for God. When you're facing a trial, look for God. He's there. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? He's there. He longed for God. He longed for God. He longed for the house of God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul longeth for Thee. If you were to lose everything, what would you miss most? If you were to lose everything right now, if you were to lose everything that you own, if you were to lose everything in your life, what would you miss most? Now, I hope you miss the spiritual things first. They're what have meaning. He was in a dry and thirsty land. All of us have been there. If you haven't, you'll experience that land. Look at verse 2. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I've seen Thee in the sanctuary. He longed for the house of God. He longed to see the power of God in the house of God. And I told you the story that when they fled Jerusalem, that two of the priests went and got the ark and carried it after them. And David said, no, y'all take the ark back and put it where it belongs. I believe David understood and knew. Now remember the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, must have been a hit bird, just must have dived into the roof. Beacon off. Wham! The Ark of the Covenant, God dwelt there on top of the Ark of the Covenant, between the cherubs and the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence with Israel. And so when the two priests went and got the Ark of the Covenant and carried it out with them outside the city walls, what they were saying was, we want God to be with us. And David said, no, take the Ark back where it belongs. I don't need the Ark's presence in order to have God with me. Listen, you don't need a cross hanging around your necklace, around your neck and a necklace to have God with you. Amen? God's presence is not found in a piece of jewelry or a statue or whatever the case is. God's presence is there with us. God is a spirit. Well, we worship Him in spirit and truth. Amen? He longed to see the ark. He longed, again, God with him. Do you long for the house of God? Do you long for Sunday mornings, and Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights? I mean, do you really? Some of you do. Maybe most of you. Man, I hope that you long to be here. That you want to be here. Sometimes we come out of duty. Especially this morning, some of you came out of duty. You looked outside, it was snowy, and the wind was blowing 1,000 miles an hour. And you came in anyway. Amen. But we should long for these things. When things are not going right, when we're knocked down, when life sends its road, its bumps and its trials, we should look to God. We should long for God. We should, again, live for God and want His power. David wanted the power of God. Number three, why? Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Notice the psalmist could have said here, David could have said, because thy kindness is better than life. But notice he put, thy loving kindness is better than life. Loving kindness of God. Aren't you glad God is loving and kind? Amen? Amen. Our God is long-suffering. He's kind. He's loving. In fact, the Bible speaks of in the Psalms His tender mercies towards us. He could just say mercy, but He put tender mercies. Aren't you glad? Amen. God, again here, He wants to experience the loving kindness. In fact, He said, your loving kindness is better than life. Why is that? He's saying, your love is better than me being alive. Is that not what it says? It's better than life. Listen, David understood that there was a life to come. And the love of God is more important than this life. Listen, do you know the love of God? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you experienced the love of God? Because that's what's going to matter in eternity. Amen. Better than life in view of life to come. And then verse 4, he says, thus will I bless thee, will I live. I'll lift up my hands in thy name. I'll do what? I'll lift up my hands in thy name. Lift up his hands in prayer. Lift up his hands in service. I tell you what, we need to work for God. We need to work for God. There's much to be done today for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's much to be done today. There's a lot to be accomplished for Him. There's a work to be done. People react differently under pressure. Some eat, some sleep, or depression, some sleep, some withdraw, some drink, some throw themselves into the work. Some people, when they under pressure, can't sleep. Let me tell you, when you're under pressure, when life's trials come, pray. Pray. Lift up your hands and pray. Pray to the Lord. Seek His power. Seek His strength. Seek His presence. And number two, throw yourself into the work of Christ. You want to get out of your doldrums? You want to get out of your depression? Come soul winning with us on Saturday or Tuesday night. Come and go with me. I'll take you. You won't have to say a word. And I'm not promising you the first night we'd have something exciting, but one of those nights, come with me 3 or 4 times. I promise you, you'll be on cloud 9. You'll just be flying. It's amazing. Throw yourself into the work of God. Help in children's church. Help in junior church. Help in the nurseries. Teach a class. Help in the master's club. Ride on the van. Throw yourself in the work of the Lord. You say, preacher, that'll cheer you up? Yes, it will. Yeah, it will. It will. Throw yourself into the work of God. Much to be done. Tracts to be handed out. I tell you what, there's so much. Again, the greatest need in America today is not politicians. The greatest hope today is not in politics. The greatest hope today is God. We need to get the message out. We need to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. David said in verse 5, "And my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." My soul shall be satisfied. Again, now he's in exile. He's out there in the wilderness of Judea. He's of Judah. My soul shall be satisfied? Absolutely. You understand that happiness is dictated by circumstances, but joy isn't. Our joyful lips can be experienced during times of trial and troubles if we will lean upon the Lord. David had a God who kept him satisfied in singing. He was forced from his throne, forced to hide and beg for his life and beg for food, and yet still had a song in his heart. Amen. Have you experienced that? You can. You can. I've experienced it. There was a man before the Great Depression who had started a business and made a lot of money. He gave all his money away to the things of the Lord, to churches and getting the message out with missionaries. When the Depression hit, he lost everything. And somebody came and asked him and said, "Don't you wish you had all that money back?" He said, "No." He said, "That's all the money I have left. The money I gave away is the money I have left. Because all this life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. We invest in eternity." He says, "My treasures are laid up in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and thieves can't break through and steal." The man understood that he should invest in eternity. Listen, we must hope in God. We must get our eyes off our circumstances, get our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. David's thoughts were on the Lord. In verse 6, he says, "When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." David's thoughts were on the Lord. I've said this before. If you're having a hard time in your trial or circumstances, especially if you're having a hard time sleeping, get your Bible out. Start reading it. The devil puts you to sleep every time. Amen. Don't count sheep when you can't sleep. Pray. The devil puts you to sleep. Amen. Put some of you to sleep in here this morning. Maybe that's just me. I don't want to ever be boring. But, the devil doesn't want you to do those things. And listen this morning. He said, "I meditate thee upon my bed." When life's trials come, meditate upon the Lord. Get the Bible out and read it. Get close to God. Get close to God. By the way, He hasn't moved. We move. Not only that, but think about the victories He's given you in the past. "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." Imagine that illustration there David's giving as he thinks about a bird and with her little babies under her wings, protecting her. David had experienced the help of the Lord. David had experienced defeating Goliath. Amen? He experienced defeating the lion and the bear. He had defeated the Philistines. He had done all these great things. Somebody's dropping acorns on top of the... David had seen and had experienced great victories in the past. When you are discouraged, when trials come, look to the past and the victories that God has given you. Amen? Meditate. Think about God and think about all the things He's done for you. And again, with all of its problems, we live in the greatest nation on earth. Amen? I have a home with heat in it. When I got up this morning, I turned it from 60 to 70. Amen. Some of y'all sleep it with a 70. I'm so hot, I'd sleep it with a 50 if my family let me get by with it. I know this week we had spring break and a lot of people were on vacation. And though we kind of did a stay-at-home vacation with friends, with a preacher friend, we didn't spend a whole lot of money, but we had money to do it. Amen. Oh, man. God has been so good to us. And when we get in that life's trial, when life has knocked us down, we need to remember that God is there for us. And that what God has given us in the past, He'll do it for us again. Amen. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And the victories He's given us in the past, He will give to us in the future. And then verse 8 says, "My soul followeth hard after Thee, Thy right hand upholdeth me." By the way, any time the Old Testament speaks of the right hand of God, it's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great illustration. "Thy right hand upholdeth me. My soul followeth hard after Thee." That word "followeth hard" means to cling. You ever had your kids, going to something that's maybe a little dangerous or whatever the case is, and you pull your kids around you and you hold on to them and say, "Daddy ain't going to let nothing happen to you." Right? I said that to my kids several times. "Daddy wouldn't let something bad happen to you." First time you throw your kid in the lake and say, "Swim!" Right? And they bloop, 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 and start crying and all that stuff. And I pick them up and say, "Do you really think Daddy would let something bad happen to you? Really? Come on." Throw them down again, right? That's the way my daddy did it. All my kids can swim, amen? The Lord holds us in His right hand. He keeps us. Do you really think your Heavenly Father wants to take you out? You know, I thought that the Bible says, if you ask for bread, you think He'll give you a serpent? No, God wants to give you good things. Amen? I mean, repeat something I say all the time. God always has your best interest in mind. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your experience, God has your best interest in mind. He's conforming us into the image of His Son. David drew closer to God during difficult times, and so must we draw closer to Him. I hear this all the time. I'll knock on the door of one of our members who's missed 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. I'll knock on their door and I'll say to them, "Hey, where you been?" "Oh, preacher, this happened to me or that happened to me. And, you know, we're experiencing marital problems and I just didn't feel like going to church." "What?" I'm like, "Are you crazy? When you're experiencing difficult times, you need to be in church. Don't let the devil feed you a lie." "Well, I've even had him say, I committed this sin, I did this, and I don't want to come to church and be a hypocrite." "What? Look at all the rest of them in here." Amen. Amen. I'm including myself. You know, when trials of life come, whether they're self-inflicted or they're not, the best place for you to be on Sunday morning is in church. Again, church won't cure everything, but it sure helps. Don't let the devil feed you a lie and not get up on Sunday morning because something bad has happened to you. Man, the best place to come to get the wounds healed is to come to church. "Followeth hard," he said, "after thee." And I don't have time to give the other illustration, but when Ruth and Naomi and Orpah were leaving after their husbands had died. And Orpah left Ruth. Some of you won't get this illustration, but some of you who know what's going on will. And Orpah left Ruth. Left Naomi. But Ruth didn't. The Bible says she cleaved to Naomi. In fact, she said, "Entreat me not to leave you, nor from following after you. Your God will be my God." The same phrase there used is the same phrase used here in the Greek, in Hebrew. Cling. Oh, Ruth, cling to Naomi. Listen, David said, "I want to cling to you, God. I want to be under your wings, protected by your mighty right hand, the Lord Jesus Christ." When life's trials come, Get under the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And get into the hand that will never fail you. The right hand of God. David understood that victory would come. He said, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They'll go to hell. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. Listen, this is before he knew the outcome of what would happen with Absalom, his son, and what would happen with his counselor and friend, and what would happen to his nephew. Before these things ever transpired and God gave the great victory, he penned that God would do it. Absalom, the Bible says, was riding on his horse and came under a low branch and went to bend down to get under the branch, and his hair got caught in the branch. And it lifted him off the mule he was on. And he hung in that tree by his hair. And one of the servants came to Joab, the captain of David's army, and said, listen, Absalom's over there in that tree, hung by the head of his hair of his head. And Joab said, did you kill him? And the servant said, no, David told us not to kill him. And Joab, the Bible says, took three arrows and went and killed Absalom. Absalom was killed. Absalom died. His counselors met the same fate. In fact, his counselor and friend went and hung himself. It's a great story. God gave the victory. God gave a great victory that day. But the king, verse 11, the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let me just tell you that God knows what lies beyond the corner. Victory is just in sight. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave his life for us. It's kind of like telling your kids we're almost there. Are we there yet? Yeah, we're almost there. Are we there? You ever felt like that in a trial? Say, man, am I ever going to get through this? Yeah, you're almost there. Almost. Almost there. Almost there. Put on that armor of God and wage war. That spiritual battle. By the way, God will take care of your problems. David, the Bible says if somebody offends you, pray for them. Pray for those who despitefully use you. The Bible says if your enemy takes occasion against you, don't you seek revenge, but let the Lord take revenge. Let the Lord take care of it. Let me just tell you, you take care of your character, God will take care of your reputation. You take care of your character. You get close to God, you worship the Lord, you watch your character, you rely upon the strength of God and the strength of the Holy Spirit, and God will take care of your reputation. And God will take care of that trial for you. God will take care of your problems. He'll take care of your enemies. You may be knocked down, but not knocked out. Don't quit. You say, well, when the devil comes and tries to bring up past things, remember to remind him of his future. Amen. I read the back of the book and we win. Amen. Don't quit. Don't quit. When things go wrong as they sometimes will, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems low. You might succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you mustn't quit. Don't quit. The Lord sees what lies beyond the bend. You can't see it, but He does. He'll take care of you. David said, I long for thee in a dry and thirsty land. whatever trial, whatever test you may be going through, seek the Lord. He's never very far. Let's all stand. I have a verse of invitation, hymn 162.